Because like the Bible says, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 53, there's something said there which is so instructive for us to note again. So that we won't think that God doesn't do that kind of thing. He does. He gives people reward. He said he will see the result, that's verse 11 now, of the travail of his soul, and he will be satisfied. What is it? By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many as he will bear their iniquities. That is, a clearing away of their iniquities is the travail, is the aim of the travail of his soul. But God said, see what I'm going to do. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great. Let me just stop there. He was not looking for a portion with the great. That was not the source of his satisfaction. That was not what he was looking out for. What was the source of his satisfaction? That I'm working to have these people delivered. I'm working to have them healed. You are getting what I'm saying? I'm working to have them reconciled with God. That's why I was so moved by the way the Amplified Bible rendered it. He said, let me read it again. He shall see the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge of himself, which he possesses and imparts to others, shall my uncompromisingly righteous one, my servant, justify many and make many righteous, upright, and in right standing with God, for he shall bear their iniquities and their guilt with the consequences, says the Lord. That is, what was he aiming for? To reconcile these people to God. What was he aiming for? To take away their iniquities. If that will work, he will be satisfied. I was talking about, I said, I will repeat what I've said several times before about how Christians are supposed to sow seeds. Listen to me. There's a story. I wanted to look for the story. Last Saturday, I said I'll tell the story today. So I was supposed to look for it before now, but I didn't remember. It was a mail somebody sent to me long ago. I can't remember the details of the mail. I'll just give you a little bit about it. It was, now because I can't remember the details, so I'll create some things, but the same spirit is what I'll pass across, all right? It was a story of a little boy, maybe about between six and nine years of age, who saw a need, either in a community or in a church, something. Let us assume now that the church got destroyed, all right, by a hurricane. So there was money he had been saving. And a little boy saving, let's take Naira. This was not in Nigeria, but it was in the U.S. But let's use Naira. He's been saving 10 Naira here, 20 Naira there, 100 Naira. So the boy probably had like 600 Naira, which you and I know. They don't even count money like that if you're talking about building something. So he packaged the money one day and mailed to that place. He told his parents, they helped him package it, and he wrote a note that this one, no, his money he has saved in his life for some years. He came to 600 Naira. He's hoping that we'll be able to build that church. You understand? Now, listen to seed sowing. How seed works. Somebody got a hold of it. I think a businessman or something. I said, let's just say the guy is 9, all right? A 9-year-old boy did this. What have I been doing? The fellow took, let's say, $1 million and added. Somebody else heard. You understand? Before they knew what was happening, the story was about 600 Naira from a 9-year-old boy. They raised all the money they needed because people were here and they were add. People were here. What happened? This boy, 600 Naira. They not named the whole project after the boy. And let's make a long story short, enough money was gathered to build the broken church. Now, see, I can't remember the details. It may not have been a church or something. I just want to explain the thing that really happened. But this was how it happened. So at the end of the day, this was a lesson. Listen to this. The boy sowed a seed. Are you getting my point? And he saw the fruit of the travail of his soul. Do you understand it? That is, the day the church was completed and they photographed it, let us assume they called the young boy for the opening ceremony. He will take the picture and he will put it in his house. Let's even assume in his childish mentality, you say, I built that church with 600 Naira. He's taking pride in the completion of the project, not in the fact that he was the one that did it. Do you get my point? That's how Christians reason. That is why I forbid you in the name of Jesus Christ from giving a foolish testimony of, listen, I gave this, I got this. You are a taker who's using giving as a means. You are not a giver. Giver, go and read that 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and into chapter 9. He said, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things, we are bound to what? Good works. Not unto fat chopping. He said, he that multiplies seed to the sower, and then that furnishes seed to the sower and bread for food, shall both supply and do what? Multiply your seed for sowing. Are you seeing the way God rewards? This is where we read it. He shall supply, no, he shall multiply the seed you have sown for chopping. No, the Bible says he shall multiply your seed for further sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. If you go and see it, that word righteousness talks about your righteous works, your righteous deeds. That is, you will see the fruit, listen to me, of the travail of your soul. I'm redirecting Christians to think properly. Don't give, listen, if you are listening to this, don't ever sow a foolish seed into either my life or that of Kingdom World Ministries. I hereby reject it officially. What do I call foolish seed? You need something. You come and throw it into my life so I can multiply it. What do I look like? Compost? Manure? Is it your fertile ground? Listen, this is what fertile ground is. If a man, you want to support a ministry, you say, this fellow is really preaching the truth and is reaching the lost. So, is a fertile ground. That is, this is my seed for the reaching of the lost, not for the supplying of my personal problems. You know how Christians have their personal problems solved? They pray. They don't look for fertile ground. All that gospel of nothing leaves God's hands until something leaves your hands is a fat lie. I don't care who's preaching it. You can't pray for supplies except you have seed in the ground. It's not true. This is how Christians sow seeds. They will look and say that this thing may be done. I may not have enough money to do it, but let me do the little I can. That is the seed you are sowing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me do the little I can. This project is 100 million naira, but all I have is 25 naira. Let me drop my 25 naira. That is, I'm pouring a spirit into the project. That's how Christians sow seeds. So if you denied yourself, all right, your satisfaction will be when the thing is done. Are you getting my point? Your satisfaction will be when the people are reached with the gospel. Your satisfaction will be when the word of God is penetrating into the hearts of men, not when you get the car you sow the seed for. That one is not Christianity. The Bible says Moses took a lot of hardship. He took a lot of reproach. Imagine a man who was raised as a prince in the number one civilization of that time, now hanging among slaves. That is reproach. Sometimes you have made decisions in your life concerning what you would like to do and you would like to see achieved. Your father, in fact, you know, somebody said that. I read it somewhere. That his father says he's not been calling. He said he will call his father as long as his father promises not to talk about his dead end job. Are you getting my point? Yes. That you want to do something, your father is wondering, this is how your friends are going. Do you understand? Why are you not following their path? Why? Because he's judging life on the palace level. But you are looking at life like Moses did. You are trying to solve a problem. Are you getting me? You are trying to create something. It is not how many cars will I buy at the end of the day to prove to them that I was right that's the issue. No. It is when the thing will have been done. At least people will know I used my life for something. This man was not a Christian, but it's a good way to illustrate something about his life. What his life really was like inwardly, we don't know. But I know a few things about him that I'm talking about Mahatma Gandhi. The other day, there was a film my wife and I were watching. I've not seen an Indian film in a very, very, very long time. This was very interesting. So I was not telling my wife, can you see the quality of the filming? It was as good as anyone produced anywhere. That is, including films done by, you know, Americans and all of their, you know, Hollywood. This film was good. And you know, that's how Indian films are. You understand? All right? If you count the top 10 richest men in the world, two or three of them are Indians. Do you follow? They make everything. They have the best railway network in the world. You know that. They make good trains. Right now, that is where the world runs to for medical care. Nigerians don't raise money now to go for surgeries or treatment in UK and US. They go to India. Why? Because this is a matter of fact. There was a man I knew that wanted to go for one expensive treatment. He had a form of blood cancer. And they had to raise 15 million naira. By the time he got quotes from India, the whole thing was going to cost 1.5 million naira. 10% less. Sorry, that is 90% less. Just 10% of what the Americans were going to charge. So that's why Nigerians go there. And in case you do not know, they do the same thing Americans do. Americans too have become wise. Americans, Canadians. They have found that, listen, if you don't have health insurance, you need an elective surgery. Instead of looking for $500,000 to pay, look for $50,000. Go to India, they will treat you like royalty because of that your $50,000. No, Americans are doing it now. It's called medical tourism. And it's fetching India a lot of money. I don't know about the figures today, but as about 10 years ago, India was making the same amount of money from software as we make as a country from the sale of crude oil. Are you getting my point? That if in a year you sold $20 billion worth of crude oil, that was how much Indians earned from developing and deploying software. Americans manufacture in India, in China. Then their call centers are located in Mumbai. If you call Dell, you call Apple, you call any of them for support, you are most likely, the chances that you are answered by an Indian is more than 90%. You dial an American number, is routed to India. They train them, they give them voice lessons to sound like Americans. But they were told that if somebody were to ask, where are you? Tell the truth. Don't, you know, Americans are, you know, just say, look, my name is Varapratra, you know, those kind of names. I'm in Mumbai. Just answer them the truth. All right? Of course, they'll give you a short name you will use and all of that. The point I'm going to make is this. That's how India was. That's how they are today. Why are they like that? It's simple. One man, Mahatma Gandhi, I've forgotten his first name. Mahatma is just a title, like the teacher. He decided that if India can't make it, they won't use it. I don't know whether I get my point. That was the beginning. They were forced to make cars because the man said, if we can't make it, we won't use it. Many years ago. He walked around with a loincloth. He didn't used to wear, you know, just take one white cloth, just toss around the body. Smallish man. He used to stop fight by fasting. If two of you are fighting each other, he will refuse to eat. There was a time there were riots. You know this one, you know, in Nigeria, you know, Islamic bombing and all. But boss said, please now stop fighting. They said no. So he went, stayed on the rooftop and stopped eating. He said, I won't eat until I don't hear the sound of any riot, the sound of any gunshot, anything. The whole country stopped fighting so that one man can please eat. I'm going somewhere. That was the man that said that I would have been a Christian except that I met one. Because after studying the scriptures, I was told, I heard somebody preaching about it. He said, he decided that Jesus was right and indeed must have been the Son of God. So he decided he was going to be a Christian. He was in South Africa. So he went to church one Sunday. He sat down. They came and explained to him that men of his color were not welcome. It was a white church. So they nicely excused him. And the man left and said, I would have been a Christian
except that I met one. And you've heard his saying. He said, I don't like the Christian, but I like their Christ. His principle of non-violent resistance was based upon the words of Jesus. That Jesus said, if they slap you on one's cheek, turn the left one. Now, but why am I telling his story? To let people understand what reward is. His reward, I told you a lot of our gospels are born out of poverty. Yes. Born out of poverty. Everything is interpreted in food. Pray for food. So we stay up all night. This is my year of getting a job. That is, we are self-centered. I tell people that this: if you want to go for an interview, don't look for how to impress the man. No, listen, let me drop it for you again. You are going for an interview, go and find out what it is that you can do for them. If you go for an interview and say, sir, please give me this job. My father really suffered to train me. He's waiting for me to get a job. Listen, I won't give you a job. If I, Pastor Banky, I'm the head of the company, and you come for Kingdom World meetings, and you tell me that kind of thing, I will not give you a job. Because the job was not created to solve your family problems. That's your personal problem. The job was created for you to join the company to solve certain problems. So if we want to give you that job, you must demonstrate to us that you have the capacity to help us in solving those problems. That's part of the giving mentality. Everything we do these days is must be, what is it producing for me? It has affected our gospel. That's why I said it's a gospel of poverty. Even though we say we are preaching prosperity, actually we are preaching a gospel of poverty. You want to see how prosperous men behave? Bill Gates, after making all the money, said, okay, before I die, I must give out all the money. Richest man in the world at the time, Warren Buffett, one day caught 75% of the money they had and gave to Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, that he and his wife agreed that they must give out all the money before they die. His wife has died, so he's the only one remaining. He said, let me do it too, before I just go and die suddenly. One man said, if you died rich, you died poorly. One of the founding fathers of one of America's biggest banks. That was what he said. He said, you die rich, you died very poorly. So you see, this gospel, let me give you what I can get, is the poverty people that think it. Those that really have money, they don't have time to think about it. They are saying the money must not remain by the time I die, so how can I be hoping you give me more? The reward that God appoints for his people, that's what I'm trying to explain. What was pushing Moses was not... just watch it. After I've suffered with these people small, one day they're going to crown me king. He was looking to the reward. What was the reward that somebody like Gandhi was looking to? He wanted his people to be self-sufficient. In that process, he wore slippers and tied a loincloth. I think all his worldly possession was a table and chair, something like that, and the glasses he used to wear. That was all. Yet, if he didn't eat, the whole nation would stop fighting. I wanted to remember a preacher's name, but let me just tell you what he said. I forgot his name. He said, Christianity is not marked by blessings. It is marked by sacrifices. It's not what they can get that describes Christians. It's what they can give up. I was reading the story of John G. Lake. Many of you bought the book over the last 2 weeks because we're discussing it here. Go and read that book. The man would describe the amount of power that the church, his ministry in South Africa and the churches they built experienced. They will now begin to tell you how it came about. Describing how men, white men who were used to luxury, we go into jungles barefooted. You are getting my point? In fact, go and talk. There was one, he was going to serve communion. And he was talking about this is the covenant, the cup of the new covenant. The new covenant in my blood, he was describing it. How once people spread bad gist about the ministry in America. So the ministry support people used to send to them, it stopped. So he called all the men and said, listen, guys, we can no longer support you financially. So please, let's return back from the, you know, the jungles where they were preaching. He said, after I finished speaking to the men, they said whether he could excuse them. So he stepped out. By the time he came back, they had prepared a communion table. And they were taking a communion, not to leave the ministry field, even if they had to die there. And they said to him, only one thing we ask. When you hear we are dead, come and bury us. And he said, he gave the number of men, wives, and children he had to go and bury. But the men wouldn't turn back. My friend Pastor Corey said something. He said, yeah, there's trouble in the north. He said, Christians don't understand that this is when you are supposed to do more missions. He said, this is when you are supposed to spend more money. Are you getting my point? He said, this is when the gospel is needed more than before. But I think the madness, I'm sorry to use these harsh words, in Christianity today, is our reward is comfort. You sow a seed, you get a car. You come and testify. No wonder God said, you said, he was talking to the church in Laodicea, that you are rich and you have need of nothing. He said, I wish you could look from my angle. You will have seen that you are poor, you are miserable, and you are wretched. And you are naked with all the clothing you have on you. You are exposed to all spiritual forces. You are getting the point? What are we learning from Moses? The Bible says Moses was looking to the reward. When we set out to sow seeds and set out to do things in Christianity, it's not what we are getting that's the reward. The reward is the fulfillment of the assignment. The reward is the completion of the project. The reward is the deliverance of Israel from Egypt and their entrance into the promised land. I said, when I meditated about it, I said, this was why God, even though he wanted to take Moses out, he said, Moses, before I take you away, come, let me show you the reward. So Moses mounted on the wings of the angels and they began to move around the promised land. And God showed him the mountains as rain was falling on them. God showed him the valleys as water was running through them. He showed him the sun rising and the sun setting. He showed him how fruitful the land was. He showed him where copper could be dug up. He showed him where gold could be dug up. He showed him how the people of children of Israel will settle and they will be prosperous. He said, listen, this is what you call the promised land. You've seen it now. How am I sure they went out? No problem. Have you not put your hand upon Joshua? He will carry that anointing and take the people into the promised land. That was why Joshua and Caleb did not disbelieve God, though. They didn't doubt God, but they couldn't leave the children of Israel in the wilderness. Because the assignment of Joshua was to help the people inherit the land. That's the reward of Christianity. If you sow a seed towards a ministry, you should be glad. Maybe you give kingdom what money as an example. Then you are driving through worry one day. And it's, is it 6:30 or 7 broadcast on Tuesdays? It's 7:05. Then you say, oh, in your mind, that's my money working. I don't know what I got to say. Not God. You know that foolishness. I gave money to the bank. You know what? You never said to me, how far now? So when you now get to, you now get a child, say, I've been waiting for this child. I gave a dangerous seed. Now I've gotten a dangerous child. May God not give you a dangerous child. Listen, when the woman, the Shunammite woman, blessed Elisha, Elisha said, what can we do for you? She said, I don't need anything. So why did you do what you did? Because I perceive that you are a holy man of God. Elisha, talk here, talk, go there. The man, woman, at least understand, I'm not a Nigerian Pentecostal Christian. I am just a woman who recognizes you, anointing upon a man of God when I see one. What is my reward? Are you comfortable, sir? Is your ministry improving now that you have a place to stay? That's what I want to know. After she left,
Elisha said, no, we must do something. God can appoint that kind of reward, but let's leave that one to him. Let's not even think about it. Let me say something to you. There's something about Christianity. I've learned it for a while, and I've come to the conclusion. You're talking about blessing, real blessing, what we call blessing. God won't give you until it doesn't matter to you anymore. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Real one. That is the time God will make you a billionaire. You wouldn't care. I don't know whether I get my point. The only thing that will be burning in you, and that's why I said that's what Christianity is. But that's, go and read my book, Grace to Prosper. The chapter on the vow of prosperity. I talked about the vow of poverty and that vow of prosperity. The vow of prosperity, the only thing that bothers the man, the woman in that situation is, this is an opportunity to bless. Are you getting my point? That is, why does he run a company? Simply because he can employ plenty. I can employ 10,000. Last year, we crossed our 10,000 mark in employment. Praise God. Over the next few years, we'll be able to do 50,000. Even if he does not get richer. Stop reading Forbes. You know what I'm saying? Let them not deceive you. This man, you know, he's worth 15 billion. There's one movie we have, we watch once in a while, I don't want to laugh. Fabulous Lifestyle of Filthy Rich Billionaires. If you want, I can give you to watch. It's interesting. Anytime I'm watching it, I laugh. I know what's running in my mind. Vanity upon vanity. They show you one young lady, daughter of a billionaire. This is my home in Bel Air. This is where I stock my shoes. 300 pairs of shoes. If you have 300 pairs of shoes, it's obvious you keep on buying shoes. Is that not so? Which means that you will not wear the 300 pairs that you have. And ignoramuses, little children will be saying, ah, my God, you go bless person. Oh, we go reach this level. We go reach this level. Then one jaguda will come to town. So is she to reach that level? You go sell your partner. you go not sell coat, sell trouser. He said, lest this be this pattern will prevent me from reaching this level. You go walk naked. You won't realize that you see the men building boats, competing on whose boat is bigger. Why? Emptiness. One has built a boat for $150 million. Then he hears the next guy's boat is 20 inches longer. So he pulls, it destroyed the front of that boat and quickly adds 17 feet in front. Vanity. Listen, don't be deceived that the man is enjoying better than you are enjoying. You know? Listen, I know people find it hard to believe that. How can you say, listen. If God puts satisfaction in your soul, one day, just leave your wife, your children down here, then travel to a country where they know they take light. Everything is, that is, I give you 1 week. You say, Lord, please, can I go back to where they take light? That is, me person even see small mosquito kill, you know? You know, your soul is used to one kind of satisfaction when you squash a mosquito. Listen, it's the same thing. That's what I'm telling you. Is the same thing. And listen, real prosperity for the believer. God won't pour it into your life until you have reached that level. If all you're striving morning, afternoon, and night is to become rich, hear ye the word of the Lord, you will not be rich. That's interesting about Christianity. That's why you need to take the word of God and feed yourself. Because where God is taking you to, a time when you reach that level, people will be looking at you and say, boy, this guy, they enjoy now. They don't realize that the car is not, it's just a necessity. You don't mind trekking. I don't know whether I get my point. That this thing is just a tool. I just use it to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. And then to me, you can get there quick if you will just take the word of God and imbibe it. What's the point I've made today? Let me just quickly end it. We're learning from Moses. we've seen that it's a character of Christ that we're describing. And what is that character? That is, when I sow a seed, it is not what I will get that's the reward. It is the effect it will have that's the reward. Are you getting my point? Moses was looking to a reward. His reward was to see the deliverance of Israel. And whatever it is you want to do in life, my question for you today as I close is, what is the reward you are looking to? You know, I say it once in a while. I say, a young woman will say, I want to marry a man who can take care of me. Now you know it's foolishness. You're not a project, amen? You're not a problem to solve in life. A woman will just be born to come and take care of you. No, that is foolishness. Christians don't practice that. In life, like if you read my last email, that's the same one I sent around, talking about the power that we have as believers to overcome challenges in life. I say, a man wants to marry. He say, I like that girl, Sha, but she has responsibilities. That is, all my liking, she's holy, she's godly, she's good, but not firstborn. A younger brother at the secondary school. In fact, there are three, and one in primary school. If we marry now, we'll go train all of them. Papa not to get money. Worldly people will say, oh boy, now wow. Godly people say, this is my reward. The day the last boy will graduate from school, and I will know I was instrumental in making it easy. Are you getting my point? And that graduation is bye-bye. It's not like, now you owe me the rest of your life. Christmas, all of you must bring goats. You know, some people, they can't, if they help anybody, they go add your name, join the list. The day when they get headache, they go phone you for Panadol. That's not Christianity. We have to say this so people will understand. Listen, like Moses, we start taking pride in it. I've seen the promised land even though I did not enter. I know that Joshua will carry them into the promised land. Now thy servant can depart in peace, that my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. Marry the young woman. Why do you think God gave you a good job? By the time you marry a woman that does not have responsibilities, both of you are rich, you understand what I'm saying? What's the next thing you do? Start buying cars you don't need. Start building houses like birds. On every tree, you go create a nest. Yeah? They start flying everywhere. You just have to spend the money. The money start pushing you. God will just look like, look at this human being. Why did I give you that money? So that you can be a blessing to somebody else. Listen, we have to learn how Christians are supposed to think. Because without it, we're not going anywhere with God. We're not going anywhere in life. That is, for that young man, it will be a reward. The day the last boy finally graduates, and he says, oh girl, looks at his wife, we have tried. You know that kind of thing. You nod to yourself, say, all this work we have been working all these days, at least now we have seen the fruit. Some people say that, quickly build a house so that they will see where your money is going. How can a blessed human being be converting spiritual energy to block and be happy? I don't know whether I get my point. You are taking pride in that all your labors is to create vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. You may as well be walking at the end of the month, you say, praise the Lord. You start burning the currency one by one. Because all flesh is what? Grass. I see people who say that, at least they see where your money is going. So, you buy land, that's where your money is going. You're not blessing anybody else. You are digging foundation, that's where your money is going. You are laying block, cement, iron rod. Then one day God blows like this. Tornado, boom, everything comes crumbling down. Listen, for a long time, I did not have a car. And you know my major reason, I've told the story before. Because one day, Bishop Oedipo was talking, you know, he said something. He said that after all, because he said there was a mission project they needed to have and to undertake, and they needed money. So when there was no money, he told them to go and take his car. It was a Mercedes 280, to go and sell it. So they sold the car and use the money, you understand, to do the mission. He now said something. He said, now, because of that, you see drunkards singing praises. You see harlots that have been delivered and they have given their life to Christ. He said, all because of a car that could have caught fire and burnt to the ground. Do you understand? That thing never left my head. So when people say that this is how to buy a car, you will save continuously for 2 years. I say, and then when it catches fire, my 2 years labor will have caught fire. And you know, God is very kind, amen? Sometimes he doesn't even let it catch fire. You know what he will do? He will send a thief with a gun so that by the time you leave the place without being hot, you are so busy with Thanksgiving, you don't even remember the car that was collected. Listen, I'm not saying a house is bad, that is so. I'm not saying a car is bad, but it is never a place where a man says, this is where my hard labor is going. Your hard labor should go into, let me summarize like this, into deliverance of somebody, or a situation, of a people, of an assignment, the fulfillment of a calling. If you know how blessed I am, every day, you know, because I'm a preacher, and listen, it's not only preachers that are entitled to this. It's not only preachers, but this is my own experience. Every day, I get a testimony. Somebody will tell me how his life has been transformed. One day, somebody sent me a text. I forwarded it to a brother. He said, Oga, you bless this guy. I said, yes, it's because of people like him. I'm happy with the choices I made. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? It's not only preachers that should have that testimony. If you start a business, a company, or whatever it is, you take, you know, it's not that, we're now amongst the richest men in the world. That's not the gist. When you are signing salary, you know, what they call that, payroll. When you see it, at the end of the month, they say, oh, God, sign here. They pack the checks, they total everything. You're supposed to sign, you total the whole thing, salary 1 month, 150 million. You're supposed to nod to yourself, say, yes, praise God. And nobody knows who. When they close the door, you dance. Ha! Baba God, I just signed 150 million in salaries, wages. And then when you see your workers going home, as one guy drives out, you nod to yourself, say he's going to take his wife out this night in that car. Praise God. When it's the beginning of the school session, you pay salary on time. You understand what I'm saying? You give your bonus at that time so that they can pay fees on time. You don't want to hear that your staff went to school to go and say, please, sir, you know, God, they do. Never, just let my children come. Before the end of 6 weeks, before the term is over, we'll go pay. It's not a good testimony for you. Your pride, your joy should be, Even federal government can't talk. Where would they? Would they pay better than them? You understand my point? People should resign from federal government to come and work for you. That's when you know you are blessed. Where were you before? I was level 14 officer in Ministry of Agric or Ministry of Works. But we saw this open door. Now, bros, we quickly resign. All correct, sir. We did your side. Then when the guy goes, you close the door and look up to heaven and nod, say, Baba God, we try. That is the reward. That is what?
The reward.
That is what?
The reward.
That's what Christians look at. Learning from Moses, what have we learned today? The worldly system, we have rejected it. Reward for us is not what comes back to us. Reward is the fulfillment of that which we are making our sacrifice for. Moses sacrificed everything so that the people of Israel could be delivered. And even though he did not see the final deliverance, that is the entrance to the promised land, God said, so that he would not miss his reward, come, let me show you the promised land. Like I said earlier, let me say it again as I close. Anything you want to do in life, ask yourself, what will be my reward? Do you understand what I mean now? What is it that I want executed, that when it is done, when it will have been completed, I will nod and say, Father, thank you. it was worth everything.